Hello, everyone. Welcome to Hollow Press, where we talk about things that spooky stress us
and spooky press us.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Kaylee.
We're diving in this week to our show review this time. Mm-hmm. American Horror Story.
Horror Story? What accent was that?
American Horror Story, 1984. And we're also going to be talking about Are You Afraid of the Dark? The revamped Nickelodeon experience.
Experience. Wow, that's props. Props to them for an experience. Sorry.
Yeah. So we decided to get into the spirit. Ooh, I'm wearing my,
what was it say?
Camp Crystal Lake running team shirt. Ugh, it was cute. Some guy at Walmart thought it was funny as well. So shout out to you, some guy at Walmart.
Yeah.
We love that.
But it does go hand in hand because we will be talking about Camp Red Rock. Red Rock?
Redwood.
Camp Rock.
Red Rock. I can make your bed rock.
I can make your bed red rock. I can make your red rock. All right, anyway.
Yeah, American Horror Story 1984. So this season, as if you're familiar with American Horror Story, they kind of change the topic of each season. So this one is all about 1984 camp slasher 80s vibes.
It's definitely is making fun, not making fun of, but kind of the slashers films from the 80s.
Yeah.
What's the one? Isn't that the one?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one. Her shirt. What's his name?
Jason.
Oof. It's the same thing, basically. You got teenagers that are
having sex,
doing the thing in the lake. The drugs. Where are the kids at? We don't know yet. I think they arrive in the next.
We only watched the first episode.
Yeah, disclaimer. We did not have time. Well, it's still coming out.
But yeah.
It's also not on Netflix yet.
Right.
So when it comes out on Netflix, maybe I'll continue.
Maybe.
But let's talk about it. So basically, you have Emma Roberts, who is in the couple of other ones.
Mm-hmm.
She's a character. She just moved to LA. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, she's your innocent virgin girl, pure, scared of things, blah, blah, blah.
But clearly attracted to big old juicy men.
Bad boy.
Ooh.
Aren't we all? Anyway.
Right. So I really like the intro, though. Like, it was very, like, whenever they're doing their aerobics class and they had their names next to them. It was really cute.
It did. Yeah, the intro was cute. Mm-hmm. They were started out doing the
aerobic class.
Aerobics, which is what we were doing. Anyway, so she joins this aerobics class and she meets these other group of young adults there.
Yes.
Who are, they're very loud, very, very loud.
As we were saying.
Anyway, very loud and inappropriate. I mean, they're not,
especially Montana. She is very
sexually frustrated.
Oof. She really wants some of Emma Roberts.
Yes. Oof. So she befriends a girl named Montana. Montana is clearly the opposite of the main character, and she shows her all her other friends. They introduce everybody, and they also explain how there is a killer on the loose.
Yeah, the night slasher,
hash slinging slasher.
Right,
he's on the loose here. So they kind of come up with a plan, or one of the guys says that he's going to be being a camp counselor for a camp called Red Rum.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. And he says they should come so they can get out of L.A. and so they don't get killed.
Yeah. And also the Olympics are going on at this time as well.
Was just making an appearance quite often.
Yeah, it is.
Also to note, at the very beginning of the show, we see from 15 years ago at Camp Red Rum. What is it?
Red Rock.
Red Rock.
No, that's what you said. What is it? Redwood.
Redwood. Yeah, Redwood. We see people. What were the kids doing having a threesome?
See, okay. If you're not familiar with our podcast, we talk a lot about threesomes and why we should not have it. And this kind of just puts the icing on the cake.
Real talk.
It shows these camp counselors about to get it on. There's three of them. And then old girl's about to take off her shirt. And then she takes it off and she sees that the two other people are
dead. He kills fast.
Literally. And he moves slow.
He kills fast, moves slow.
Ooh, a man I need in my life.
Did I mention he's rich?
You think he's... Why do you think he's rich?
It's a man that we want to date.
Oh, okay.
Womp. Okay, anyways.
Yeah.
So yeah, she like takes off her shirt. But in the process of her being blinded by her shirt, the killer stabs the couple and she's like, what? And then he kills her. Yeah. But anyway, this killer kills everybody and he likes to take their ears and string a necklace on his neck.
So, Mr. Jingles is his name.
Because he has the keys.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, back to the future, because this was like a flashback. So we're back to the future. Yes. Kind of scary. Scary hairstyles.
Yeah.
Yes.
As all 80s movies are.
So they go to the camp. At first, when they're still at the aerobics place, the guy invites all the friends to come to the camp. Everybody's down except for Emma Roberts' character.
What's her name? Brooke.
Brooke. Except for Brooke. She's hesitant. She has school.
She's like, I have school. I'm trying to be a veterinarian.
A veteran and narian.
A veterinarian. Yeah.
So she says no. But that night, mm-hmm. somebody breaks into her apartment, demands mm-hmm. to get her jewelry. She's mad because she has like one ring. So he's like, I'm going to kill you. And then she's like, but then the next door neighbors are like, you good? Which is nice. That was realistic. Finally.
I was like, wow, neighbors actually who hearing care? Things? Ooh.
I know. Usually they're like, I didn't hear shit. Well, I heard a scream, but I just, I thought it was having a good time. I'm like, wow.
But Brooke does fight back.
She does. She gets a frying pan.
But what's interesting too, before that happens, is she's talking to the group of friends and like they're talking about the killings that had just happened. And she's like, yeah, I heard that in the summer it's a peak time for serial killers because everybody keeps their windows open.
Oh, and she has her windows open that night. Which we can only presume.
But he doesn't even come out through the window.
I think that's the funny. Like, I feel like the whole thing is like kind of a satire. Like, it's funny.
Yeah.
Because the characters are so outlandish or just so extra.
They're heightened. Yeah, for sure.
Long story short, so she freaks out. She thinks the hashling slasher's after her.
Real talk.
Because before that guy leaves, he's like, I'm going to find you.
The devil will lead the way.
That's what he says. So she freaks out, as somebody might. And so she decides to go out of LA. So the guy can't get her anymore. And she's going to go mm-hmm. to the trip, whatever. So she goes with these people she's never met in her life to go be a camp counselor. Ew. I guess. Why? That sounds worse.
Either
worse.
Be killed by the hashling slasher or be surrounded by some kids.
Preteen children.
Guess I'll die.
Anyway, so they get to this camp.
On their way to the camp.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
So, oh boy. What's also interesting, too. So, Montana's boyfriend, Xavier, I think is his name. He is driving this big van down the road. And they stop at this payphone. And he checks his voicemail. And, like, he gets a voicemail, which sounds like it's maybe the hash-slinging slasher.
Potentially. Talking about,
you could take your dick out of here, but you can't bring it out of me. I don't You know, they're like, you could take the girl out the country, but you can't take the country out the girl.
What was the first thing you said that you tried to slide in there?
Mm-hmm. The dick one?
Yeah, what the hell was that?
No, that's what I was trying to say. It's like a riff off of that, you know? Oh. You could take your dick out the city, but you can't take your dick out of
me. Is that what they told him on the phone?
No, but he did say something about his dick.
But I have a theory. Xavier knows what's going on.
Oh, probably. I have another theory, too.
It's going to be a twist. We'll get to that.
We'll get to those. But yeah, so he checks that voicemail and he's like, I know where you're going. I'll follow you. So, you know.
He's like, ugh. He didn't even look surprised. He's like, ugh, that's crazy.
He's like, next.
He's like, not again. All right. Whatever.
So they're driving down the road again. And for whatever reason, he's like helping old boy take a bong rip in the front seat. So he's driving, taking his eyes off the road.
Wait, can we also talk about. Yeah. Sorry. We are all over the place. Back at the gas station where he's talking on the payphone, this man literally tells him, don't go to the camp.
You're going to die.
And they're like,
fuck you, old man.
Are you kidding me? Camp's already scary. You just got to tell me there's one too many mosquitoes and I'm not there. Okay. Much less that I'm going to die.
Right.
Continue. So they're driving along after they just got, you know, a warning they didn't heed.
Yes. And so Xavier's helping old boy with a bong grip, taking his eyes off the road, and then they hit somebody, and clearly this guy has been through it, you know, there's blood, there's cuts, and he's also clearly got hit by a fucking truck. Mm-hmm. And so old boy Xavier's like, we didn't hit him, we didn't do that, calm down everybody. And he low-key wants to like leave him on the side of the road, but everybody's like, no, we're gonna help him. So they bring him to the camp.
It's okay, can I just say, if somebody runs out in the middle of the street, I don't know if he ran out.
I don't know what he was doing.
I never get leaving somebody. It does suck that you have to admit that you hit somebody with your car. But if somebody crazy is running on the road and they're not supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
it's okay. Like, we're not going to get mad at you. He was not looking at the road, so we might get mad at him.
And he was doing drugs.
But you know those other movies where, like, they could have clearly helped that person.
Yes, and they just
and they just don't because they're like, oh, I hit him. I'm like, we'll understand it's in the middle of the night. They ran out in the middle of the street. You didn't mean to hit him.
Yeah.
You look worse leaving the anyway. So continue.
Very true. So they get to the camp, and you know, they get the guy who was hitting who was been hitting, who got hit, into the infirmary. Damn, I cannot speak.
The infirmary.
Infirmary. And that's whenever we kind of get a tour of the campground. So the lady is like telling them, like, you know, she's very clearly against these children. She doesn't like that they're all into like the sex, all into the drugs, all into whatever. So she kind of gives her spiel about things. She's like, I don't care if you self-harm, and what by that she meant masturbate, and then she goes off this whole spiel, and everybody's like, dude, it's 1984, take a chill pill, bitch.
Times have changed.
Right, bitch. So then later on that evening, you see that the kids from before are all around a campfire along with the nurse who's going to be working there as well. So the nurse is like trying to give them like the rundown of the place. She's like, you want to know why, you know, we all got these jobs? Because nobody wants to be here. Camp Redwood, Camp Red Rum, whatever Haley wants to call it. Mm-hmm. There was a mass slaying here 14 years ago and 10 people died. So she gives the whole rundown to Mr. Jingles. Apparently he was in some kind of war and he loved killing and he was really good at it, but he got a dishonorable discharge because he was taking his victim's ears and stringing them along his necklace. I don't fucking know. Like, it was like those Smarties necklaces, you know, that, mm-hmm. that you would eat. He's kind of like that. So then one night they don't know what happened, but he just, you know, snapped and he killed a whole cabin. And
well, they let him work there.
Yeah,
he couldn't find a job anywhere except for with children.
Yeah,
and they're like, yeah,
I guess
fine.
Some kind of like campgroundsman. I don't even know what
he was like.
He
the
did.
Janitor slot. Yeah, I can't. Yeah.
I don't know what he did, but he
got bored. That's boring. I'm not gonna
lie. You know what? I'm coming back. He was getting back in the work.
I'm tired of this.
So he kills, the nurse says 10 people, and then all of a sudden the camp counselor who bought this place comes out and she's like, no, it was 9. And then she shows that her ear is missing. So she says that she bought this place because, you know, she wants to take all of her bad memories of this place and turn them into good ones. And yes, we're never going to talk about the story again. But yeah, mm-hmm. she does confirm that everything happened. And whenever she was bleeding out, she had like this whole coming to Jesus moment. And she got really spiritual. So that was why she thinks she didn't die and all this kind of stuff. So then it flashes forward to Mr. Jingles being on the loose. And I was like, how did this happen? And then it says 3 days earlier. I was like, oh, great. So we see that Mr. Jingles is in his cage, if you will, at the mental institution, mm-hmm. and he had hung himself. And so the guard is like, you stupid bitch, lol.
Yeah,
and then he ends up dying because Mr. Jingles isn't dead because he's smart. He mm-hmm. decided to put this stuff around his waist and also his neck, so he wasn't really dying. But then you also see later on when the people kind of discover the scene that the reason why he left is because he has a newspaper in his room that said Camp Redwood is reopening its doors. And then
so that was what did it. He was like, yes, oh, I could have gotten out here a long time ago, but Camp Red Rum is back in order.
Right. So now he's on his way back over there. He kills the guy from the gas station, you know, for whatever reason, to mm-hmm. get his car, I guess. And then he gets to Camp Redwood, and Emma Roberts' character is going on and checking on the guy who got hit by a car, and she finds out that old boy got right. I think we're missing something. I think we see that, like, because we see him without an ear, so it looks like he might have been a survivor as well.
But from how long ago?
I don't fucking know.
Because this guy, the hiker, clearly you can tell he's been
through it,
or at least it looks like the hash-slinging slasher or this ear guy got him. But then does the timeline match up?
I don't know.
Because then the guy that released from prison or escaped the mental ward, he got out like the day before. So, but how was he already out there? I don't know.
I mean, maybe he was on his way over there whenever he ran into that guy and tried to kill him too. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what happened. And that's why he was in the forest, like trying to run, because he says like all sorts of weird shit to Emma Roberts' character.
I tried.
You have to know I did try. And I don't know what the fuck else. But later on that night, when she goes and checks on him, she finds that he's dead. And then she sees the hash-slinging slasher in the window. She runs and falls 4 times. And she gets back to the cabin, and everybody's there. And she's like, dude, he's here. The hash-slinging slasher's here. So they all go out as a group to go see what's going on. They go back to the infirmary, and they see that old boy isn't dead. And they don't see his body. He's not there
anymore. There's no blood anywhere. I'm like,
okay. I was like, how did this happen? Because he was hanging on a door, dead.
Literally. So how do you clean up the blood?
Yeah, I was like, why did he clean up the blood? Because he hasn't been this nice about any of his other crime scenes. He likes to have them out and about. So I don't know. And then we kind of end there, right?
Basically.
Oh, and then what we see is, the hash-slinging slasher is the other guy, the Night Stalker. So we see the Night Stalker in the woods as well before the end of the episode.
Yeah, so there's two guys. There's Mr. Jingles, and there's a hash-slinging slasher that tried to get Emma Roberts or Brooke earlier.
Yeah.
And he finds her, presumably because he was told.
By Satan.
Yes. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm gonna be honest, okay? So American Horror Story, you know, the first time I watched it, it was on Netflix, and I binge watched the entire first season from like 12 until like 8 in the morning. And I was really fucking with it, you know? I really liked that one. I liked Asylum. But then after a while, I could not finish a season. I was just like, I don't really care anymore. And I feel like they've like, I don't know if the spark has worn off on me. I don't know. We're in a relationship right now. It's really tricky. But I just can't get into it. And watching this episode, I still didn't want to watch it anymore. My dad was like, hey, let's watch a second one. I was like, ooh, I'm good. And I just can't get into it. And I rated it personally a 2.5 out of 5. I'm just not fucking with it. Like, it's okay. The characters are pretty dramatic, and I think they're doing it on purpose, but it's so dramatic that I don't give a fuck.
I liked it.
Tell me more, sis.
Well, I thought that they were being, obviously it was over dramatic, but I thought it was kind of funny. It's clear that they're making fun of the slasher films from the 80s. So I thought it was enjoyable, but I definitely could see how they're over the top a little bit. So do you have to kind of get around that? But because I feel like they're making fun of it, I can deal with it. If I thought they were being serious, it's a no-go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and then I am curious to see like what's going on, because I feel like there's going to be a twist. I feel like somebody knows something. There's obviously like two killers, maybe more. I don't know. I just feel like there's more of the story. So I was intrigued, but I liked it.
What'd you rate it?
I'll give it a 4 out of 5.
Nice.
For the first episode. Yeah, I thought it was good. Like, I wanted to watch the second one.
Yeah.
But I'm not paying for that. Because I paid for the first
one. You paid for the first one?
It was on, like, FX. I couldn't watch it.
Oof.
Where'd you watch it?
I have DirecTV, so.
I do not. So, I had to pay $1.99 on YouTube.
Damn.
But YouTube comes in clutch.
It does. It's, you know what? Go YouTube. It's your birthday.
So I watched it on there. But
my theory is, like, I know how you talked about Xavier knowing more.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the lady who opened up this place is the one who told Mr. Jingles that it's reopening. I think she was the one who got him that newspaper over there.
So she can get revenge.
Exactly. Because think about it. If that guy really did murder 9 people at a camp, why the fuck would he get a newspaper talking about that camp reopening?
True.
Why would that happen? So I think she got it to him, and she hates everybody there. Like, I don't know. It's kind of weird too, because she was, you know, getting all these people hired for the camp to reopen tomorrow in that world. But she only hired Xavier. So it's a good thing that he brought all his friends, because there wouldn't be anybody else there besides Xavier, the nurse, and then there's that guy with the big dick.
Oh, yeah. And like, why did they show up? Why did the nurse show up? If they knew all about this, why is the nurse there? Why is the trainer guy there? Why is the cook there?
Listen, I don't know. I guess because they got to eat. Money is money, I guess.
Anywhere else?
I know, girl. And I mean, the nurse said that she wanted to get out of town because of the Olympics and the killings and stuff like that. So maybe that was the motive. So
she went to another place that notoriously had killings.
Logic.
That makes sense.
But yeah, I think that the camp lady, like, you know, she hired the guy with the big dick, and she does not appreciate people having sex before marriage. She doesn't like any of that kind of stuff. So why would she hire somebody who wears these short shorts with the big
random dick? People who don't have the same values.
Exactly. And so I think she hates the people who are working here. She's the one who told Mr. Jingles, and she's ready for that shit to happen. Yeah.
She is ready for her comeback.
She is ready, sis. Don't call it a comeback. I've been here
comeback
for years.
Season.
Yeah, so I think that's what's gonna, I don't know, I really don't know what's gonna happen. Ryan Murphy, you do you, sis, you're gonna do whatever anyways. Mm-hmm. I don't think I will be watching.
I will be watching when it's on Netflix, so yeah. I'll wait a year or two.
I don't think it'll take that long,
and then
probably next year. But I mean, I think that, I mean, my dad and my mom really like the Roanoke season of American Horror Story. They said that one was really good, so I might check that one out. But I don't know, man. American Horror Story is just kind of boo, boo, boo. Aww. So we also watched Are You Afraid of the Dark?
The first episode of the 3-part series that
is on Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon has brought back. Apparently they brought back the old Are You Afraid of the Darks as well. Yeah. So when I was like looking to watch this one, mm-hmm. I got kind of confused because apparently they're showing all the old ones. So if mm-hmm. you do want to see the old ones, check it out. But they also have a reboot that they did, 3-part series. So let's give a brief summary.
So I mean, it's kind of funny too, because we're talking about something that was on FX, so like boobs and threesomes and drugs, and now we're going on to Nickelodeon,
to a wholesome children's show.
There we go. So basically what this one is about, it's kind of interesting because I think most of, what is it called, Are You Afraid of the Dark? I think most of that is usually about the Midnight Society telling stories. So with this one, it shows a different perspective. It shows this girl who moves into a new town with her mom, meets a really hot neighbor boy, and she goes to school for the first day, and she sees this kid who's wearing a shirt that says, watch horror movies. And then he sees her drawing something spooky, and then he shows the drawing to everybody else. So it seems like he and the other people he shows a drawing to are in the Midnight Society, and they're showing the induction process for getting into the Midnight Society. So that's basically what it was doing in the beginning, of showing that background. And so she passed the test where they asked her a few questions, and one of them was like, what would you rather be, a ghost or a zombie? And she was like, a ghost. I already feel like one anyways. I was like, ooh, emo bitch.
Same.
So sad. So then they said, meet us here at this place at midnight. And bitch, why did that place have like a whole ass boat that you had to like pull yourself on? I was like, as soon as I saw that, I would go home.
I'm not doing all that.
That's too much.
Y'all want to watch some movies together? Y'all want to talk about like potential scary stories? I'm down. What you're not going to do is give me a map to the middle of nowhere in a lake.
By myself.
I'm not doing that. Where That's people how you get killed.
Exactly.
Anyway, but she did it anyway.
Uh-huh. And then so she gets kidnapped by them.
But long story short, they have her tell a story.
Yeah, so they give her a day to tell a scary story. And so she tells a story about this little girl going into a fair. And we can kind of go into that a little bit more. But basically, this girl goes to the fair. There's like this guy, Mr. Top Hat, who's like, everything's a part of the show. And so the little girl, who looks like maybe 12, is mm-hmm. apparently in middle school. I don't know. Yeah. But she gets freaked out easily by all this kind of stuff. And then she finds out the next day that these two girls in her class at the place got kidnapped. And she tells her parents, she's like, they were at the fair. They were at the Circus of Doom last night. And they're like, what are you talking about? She's like, the Circus of Doom. We went together. And then they go, or she rides her bike to the Circus of Doom. I was like, damn, how close was it for her? No. But she rides her bike over there, realizes there's no Circle of Doom mm-hmm. there, or Circus of Doom. So it's gone. And she forgets about it, too. That was Rachel's story. And it got her into the Midnight Society. Good on you, bitch. And then she realizes, well, what happens next is you see this one guy who was kind of flirting with her in the beginning. His name is Adam. He is walking his dog, and he sees that there's people setting up a fair or a circus of doom. And his dog gets loose, and he chases after it. And then it cuts to a scene where the dog's back at his house without the owner, drenched in the rain, and they're like, where is he? Adam. And then at the end, you see everybody in class. They get the news that their classmate has been missing, and they also get good news, because that's what you do. You announce to the class that your classmate is missing. You're like,
and then,
well, since that was super gloomy, here's something cool. And it's a free admission slip to the Circus of Doom. So yes. Now they're realizing that her story's coming true.
And they don't know why. And in the beginning, she has like a bad dream.
Yes.
Which is what she bases kind of her story off of.
Yes.
So it's seeming that her scary haunted dream is coming true. Mm-hmm. And maybe there really is a haunted carnival man out to get everybody.
Yeah.
But it seems like he scares people, but he takes people who he's not really scaring. He just like, they're like collateral. He's like, eh.
Food.
Yes. So we'll see. And so it basically ends like that. But what were your thoughts about it?
I liked it. I mean, it's a Nickelodeon show, so the only thing that I kind of didn't like was her story. I was waiting for it to get scary. I was like, when's the scary part?
Well, it ended about like, and the girls disappeared and were never found.
I know.
And the little girl didn't remember anything ever, and neither did anyone ever else.
Yeah.
And no one cared. I'm like, sounds scary.
Yeah, sounds depressing. Are you okay?
Well, she said, you know,
she felt like a fucking ghost. So
happens.
And I mean, like, that one guy, Graham, kept interrupting the story the entire time. He's like, wait, scorpions were coming out of his leg?
Yeah.
He's being super extra. But Graham is a homeboy of the show. Like, we just recently talked about It.
Mm-hmm.
And Graham is the big boy Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Big boy Ben.
Yes.
Look at you flexing on us, sis.
I know, all these scary stuff. He better find his genre. Ooh.
I mean, I thought, like, you know, it's not super scary, of course, but it was kind of like creepy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
There's like different like homages to like the OG, like scary things. Like in the beginning when she's walking through like all these like pipes and shit, it kind of reminds me of the Nightmare on Elm Street where, you know, Freddy Krueger is kind of introduced in that realm too. And then the little girl in her story is wearing a yellow storm jacket like Georgie was in It. But yeah, so I mean, I thought it was pretty good. What'd you think?
I thought it was cute. I was trying to imagine myself as a 12-year-old. I was like, would this be scary to me back then?
Yeah.
I feel like it kind of would be depending on my age. But I thought it was cute. I mean, it was really cheesy. And of course, it was not predictable. But, you know, like when the characters are always overly curious, they're always like trying to explore. What is this? I don't know. And a little bit of over the top acting on some characters' parts. But
oh, yeah.
Like her mom was.
I was like, okay. Because some scenes, you know, Rachel wasn't the best daughter, okay? She was a little rude. And I was like, I don't want kids. And then, you know, Rachel's mom is also like, I'm your number one fan.
Yeah.
Like, just super
overbearing.
On one. I was like, is she on drugs?
Well.
And also, like, I've never snuck out anywhere before.
She sneaks out every night, and somehow she's climbing to the second roof, second floor roof.
And I was like, maybe I want to sneak out now, too.
We don't.
No, not at all. So I can go pull fucking boats and shit.
So we can hang out with the Midnight Society. I'm actually good to go forever.
See, if it wasn't like that, I would be down to do the Midnight Society. Tell spooky stories, bitch.
Talk about scary things. Do scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
Film our stuff.
Ooh.
Anyway, so I thought it was cute. I thought Nickelodeon did a cute little job kind of revamping it up.
Yeah. I mean, I low-key might watch the next two episodes.
Low-key. Comes out on Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the next one, I guess two more.
Yeah, there's only two more.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. But, I mean, I thought it was cute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that they're creating new content. I feel like a lot of times with Halloween, like with the 31 Days of Halloween on Freeform, it's like a lot of rerun, like a lot of classic stuff that I like.
Yes.
But I just feel like it's not the same. I don't know.
Well, and with the 31 Days of Horror or Halloween or whatever for them, it's this like same movie at least six times.
They play
Hocus Pocus six times. I'm like, you don't have to play it that many times.
Well, I get it. They have to come up with content for 31 days throughout the day each day.
Hey, I'm doing it too. I'm watching 31 Days of Horror shit on my own. I'm finding 31 different movies and shows, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
If I can do it, you can do it.
Yes. So take that, Freeform.
Yeah.
Which I want them to call it ABC Family again.
Who is Freeform?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be nice and give them a name, but ABC Family, whatever. So it's exciting to see that Nickelodeon, and maybe Disney is too. I don't really watch those anymore because I'm an adult. But
yeah,
it would be nice to see, you know, some stuff. Like, I just remember with Disney Channel, the shows would always be like Halloween themed.
Yeah.
They probably still do that, but I would like to see a little bit more. I want some more classic movies to come out.
I know. And I think it's cool because we did just talk about it in our podcast. You could check it out, Press Podcast, on Spotify or iTunes, where we talked about being a kid and horror and being introduced to it. And it's like kind of weird because I feel like that whole side of our childhood has kind of disappeared for like the new generation. Like, I don't think they're getting enough like kid friendly horror content.
Yeah, like fun stuff the family can watch because, you know, of course, we have a bunch of scary movies coming out in the theaters, but those are usually like rated R, PG-13 R. It's not really family friendly. It's not like a fun, cute story about Halloween. So hopefully, because I just remember Cartoon Network had a ton.
Yeah.
Do you remember My Fairy Scary Godmother?
Mm-mm.
I don't remember that.
It's all weeds.
It's all family. But yeah, and maybe they do. We just don't. We're maybe not watching it, but hopefully the new generation, they have movies to watch that they can look back on and be like, I like that, instead of us force feeding them our stuff.
Real talk.
I will be doing anyway.
But we're only watching the classics at our house.
Yes, Halloween Town 1-5, or however many.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus.
That's all you need, I guess.
What else is there? Adam's Family. That's a good one.
Oof, love that one.
And then there's other ones, but I just can't think right now.
Yeah. So on a scale of 1 to 5, I would say that this one, I gave it a 4. I thought it was really cute. I thought it was an interesting way to show the Midnight Society because, like I said, I'm pretty sure I never watched it. I watched more Goosebumps than I did Are You Afraid of the Dark, but it seemed like it was mostly just stories. They weren't showing like the background of the people who were telling the stories. So I gave it a 4 out of 5.
I gave it a 3.5. I think it was pretty solid. I think it was cute.
Yeah, good start.
Story. I mean, I just felt like it was just super cheesy, but I do have to remember it is a kids' movie, so I can't get mad.
I'm so cringy too. Like whenever she was talking to her crush, and I was like, "Oof, girl."
Yes.
Play it cool.
Be chill.
I was like, "Is this how kids really act?"
No, it's never how kids act. Really, no one does that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so thank you guys for watching. As always, you can catch this video on YouTube at Press Podcast. But if you're listening or if you just want to listen to it, we'll also have it up on our iTunes and Spotify. So at Press Podcast.
And we also have Instagram. So follow us there for any updates as to our content this month. We're doing a whole bunch of spooky shit. Join us over there. It's Press Podcast. And we also have an email account, presspodcast@gmail.com. Email us what you thought about these shows, if you've seen them. I mean, you can tell us about the American Horror Story one. I'm not going to watch it. So if you have any more like insight, if you watch other episodes, let us know, bitch. How you feeling? You like it or not? But until next time,
stay spooky.